Now, Colombia's FARC rebels have announced a definitive ceasefire as part of an accord with the government. A FARC rebellion is seen as Latin America's oldest guerrilla war. Conflicts killed more than 220,000 people and displaced nearly 5 million others over the past five decades.
This was a national day of mourning in Italy. The death toll from the past week's devastating earthquake now at almost 300.
Earlier in the day, President Mattarella visited two of the towns that got the worst of Wednesday's quake. He inspected some of the damage and thanked search and rescue teams for their efforts to find people beneath the rubble.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel's domestic popularity has declined. Polls showed on Sunday, with 50% of Germans against her serving a fourth term in office after a federal election year.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:08, and it is Monday, August 29th, 2016. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, another business week. Here we go. Are you ready? Lots to talk about for you today in the second half of our program. The college tuition programs that you hear being enacted across the country that are supposed to provide more insight and save you money on college and your kids on college may actually be costing money. We're going to be talking to a researcher at the University of Illinois who's done some research on this. You'll be surprised by the results. We're also going to be keeping track of the Farm Progress Show, which gets underway later this week. But first, let's check the overnight intel from around the globe at the WGN Market Desk. First off, you're DeVic with most of the big numbers, but we'll let you know that generally Asia is lower overnight. Europe is generally lower as well, with the DAX apparently leading the way in Germany off almost a full percentage point. The CAC in France not so far behind, almost a percent as well. In this country, Dow futures are pointing toward modest gains on Wall Street when the bell rings later on this morning. Here's what we know in terms of news this morning. Most Asian stocks are lower because of remarks on Friday by the U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen, strengthening the case for raising interest rates. The Tokyo market, an exception, though, gained on prospects for a strong dollar. On Friday, U.S. shares fell. Seven of the 10 sectors of the Standard & Poor's 500 fell, led by a 2% drop in utilities. The Dow NASDAQ also had a lower day. The dollar gained against the yen today, and the euro benchmark U.S. crude oil is just above $47 a barrel. The Commerce Department today will release a report that covers personal income and spending for July. Standard & Poor's will release the S&P Case-Shiller Index for June and the second quarter tomorrow. The Conference Board will release its Consumer Confidence Index for August on Wednesday. The pending home sales report for July will be released by the National Association of Realtors, so it's going to be a busy week for economic reports that could drive the market. Later today, the Federal Aviation Administration will hold a news conference to outline the new rules for commercial drones in the United States. Of course, a big interest to farmers across the country because they are increasingly using those drones. We'll be monitoring that for you as well. There is a new report out today that Google may be about to kill apps. That's right. For Windows, for its Chrome apps, for its Chrome operating system. Apparently, people at Google are working on systems that will basically kill off all apps running on Google's Chrome web browser. Some look and act like strange act standalone apps. There are a number of different apps available, though. What Google is doing is really unclear, but they're starting to roll this out. And they say by the end of 2016, these new apps or whatever they're going to be called will be overtaking the Chrome system by next year, mid-next year. It will be all that works on Chrome. And that brings us to our Allstate CEO today, who's in the business of making apps. He probably disagrees with this report that apps are dying, but it certainly is something that we will discuss. Patrick O'Brien is the CEO and founder of Lakeview Labs. He's also the CEO and founder of Ticket Scalper, so he's been around the block a little bit. And Patrick, welcome this morning into the Opening Bell. Let me ask you first, what is that drives you? What gets you going? What Building these apps is not an easy thing. So what gets you to work every morning?
I've been doing apps for the last almost 5 years now. And, you know, the App Store has really only been around for maybe seven, at least where people are like where apps actually matter. Each day, you know, these phones are getting upgraded. There's better features on them. Some people say that mobile's dead or apps are dead. But, I mean, really, we're just getting going. And, you know, right now it's kind of like the PCs in the 90s, right? So, you know, they were pretty basic. And now you can do almost everything. And in terms of mobile, there's going to be crazy things with augmented reality, like you can see with Pokemon Go, which is really tearing it up. So things are really just they're just starting. They're just getting going.
Do you have all of these ideas in your head? Do they pop in at certain moments? Do you, you know, have a dream about them and then wake up and kind of think, oh, that's a great idea? How does that process work for you?
It's pretty much a nonstop thing where, you know, I'm walking around and, there's like the major players. So like, let's say Uber, right? There can be an Uber for almost everything. And my first step, we were Uber for ticket scalping. So we were one of the first like Uber for X's. And, you know, now when, you know, it can really be anything, right? It could be like Uber for lawn mowing, Uber for snowplow when it's pretty deep in February and here in Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, it's a nonstop process, but it's just a matter of time. And, you know, what we think we can do the best at with our skill set and also building for other people, too.
You mentioned it, so I'll talk about it. Pokemon Go seems to be the huge craze. Is that what we're facing? Is that the future? Is everybody looking at their phones? Because I don't know about you, but I see everybody walking around, you know, staring at their phones, walking into people. Is that what we're going to see, or do you see something better with mobile apps?
So that's the first step. A mobile phone and, like, I guess apps in general, it's really not going to be so much of just a phone that is, because the device, you know, it can, I mean, you saw like 4 years ago with Google Glass, that was kind of failed, but it was also a good first taste. So, you know, what we'll eventually see is, you know, the same thing with Pokemon Go, but, you're wearing some type of sunglasses or something like that, that is, you know, it's just an overlay over the world. So you're not looking at your screen, but it's literally everything around you. So, you know, there's about four or five major startups that have gotten like almost billions in funding. And everyone says that technology is the greatest stuff they've ever seen, but they haven't even shown it yet.
Patrick O'Brien with us this morning in our Allstate CEO Spotlight.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. stocks closed mixed on Friday, the Dow Jones dropping about 50 points. Utilities pulled down the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ closed fractionally higher. Benchmark crude oil gained 65 cents to end the session at $47.64 a barrel. Hints about a rate hike. In a speech in Wyoming, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said the case for raising interest rates has strengthened with a solid job market improving outlook for the U.S. economy. She did not offer a timetable for any changes. The government will loan Amtrak more than $2.5 billion to buy new trains, upgrade tracks, and make platform improvements along the Northeast Corridor. The loan will allow Amtrak to boost seating by about 40% on Acela trains traveling between Washington and Boston. And Mazda is recalling about 190,000 CX-7 SUVs because of a potentially dangerous defect in the steering control. The recall involves vehicles made between February of 2006 and May of 2012. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. In the Allstate CEO Spotlight today is Patrick O'Brien. He is the CEO and founder of Lakeview Labs in Chicago, at Lakeview Labs on Twitter. He's also a familiar face around town. He started a Ticket Scalper app and some others as well. And he's with us this morning here again on the Allstate CEO Spotlight. Patrick, give us a chance. Give us a sense of what it is that you do on a daily basis there at Lakeview Labs. What's it like creating these apps? I have the idea. You come up with the technical. Is that how it works? Or do people come to you with ideas and you help? Or is it a combination of both?
So what we like to say a lot is that we take napkin ideas to a full functioning product. And for a lot of our apps, we started this system called 16 and 16, and next year will be 17 and 17. But what it is that each year we're trying to make 16 profitable or high growth companies. What I guess the exact steps are is just that someone comes, they're like, hey, I want to do this, Uber for X type idea. And for a lot of these cases, I've made personally about 25 apps over the last 3 years. Everything from the most viral to most innovative to most profitable in the App Store for education. So we have a pretty firm grasp upon, I guess, what those exact steps are. But what they are is a person comes to us with an idea. It's just like a scribble on a notepad, which is totally fine.
Literally a napkin.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen napkin. I've seen paper towel because like we were at their office and they just grab whatever was closest. But the first thing we start with is design, and that's because people buy with their eyes. So we try to get a prototype out where they can share with friends, family, colleagues, whatever. And we make it a clickable prototype. So it's pretty much the exact way that the app would function. But, instead of it being real data, it's just, them pressing buttons and it's like pre-filled with TomJohnson@gmail.com and, all that really generic stuff. But after that, then, once they, are set with the design and it's a little bit proven, so we try to get some customers, maybe, let's say it's an Uber for lawn care, right? So we would try to test it with some people maybe in the lawn care industry or also just consumers that would be buying that, have them test it, just get any feedback, go through another small design iteration. And then I always like to do the mom test as well. So I give the app to my mom, and if my mom can figure it out, and she's tech savvy enough, but she's still a mom. So if she can figure it out, then I know we're on a good path.
This is a great time for you to brag. So if you could tell us some of the apps that you've helped create.
Sure. So a lot of them are utility apps that I guess some like normal consumers wouldn't really come across, but for the bigger ones, I was on an early team for Groupon, so I helped with the creation of Groupon Now, and at the time that was pretty cutting edge because this is 2011. So what the app was, let's say you're walking down a street, like you're walking down LaSalle or Michigan, literally whatever street, and these small businesses could send out a push message to you. And it would be $3 off, $10 off, whatever. And what they were trying to do is just get people in during their slower times. So that was my first app that I really worked on. Another one was my personal app called Ticket Scalper, which was Uber for ticket scalping, which got pretty big in Chicago. This was 2013. We worked on another app called NCLEXRN. And it's pretty simple, but they completely dominate. And it's a study prep app for nurses. So, lawyers that all have to pass the bar, every nurse, and that's an undergrad 4-year nurse, they have to pass a test called the NCLEX. And, this company was started by dentists, actually. And they just noticed that no one was making this app for nurses to pass this test. And, what they did was they made the best app, or they want to make the best app in the world. So, I came in with my team and, we helped them go on Android. That was a big first for them. But also, there's a whole ton of stuff. But, it's the most profitable app in the App Store for education. Then I worked on another app called Down, which was a dating app, just kind of think like a Tinder. And more recently, we launched two apps. One's called Little Nugget. So that is a top 15 app for photos and video. And that's a Instagram for baby pictures. So let's say that, you just have a baby or you're a grandma, mom, whatever. You can take a picture of your baby and then you can add these overlays on top of it. So they're like icons and stickers and all this stuff to just make your baby pictures cuter, is the best way to put it. And then you can share it with your audience, not your audience, but your friends, on Facebook, on Twitter, on whatever. And then you can also get products made off of it. So like you can make an iPhone case off of it and all this other cool stuff. So that's been going very well. That's been out for about 2 months now. And then last week we launched an app called eZome, just think like Easy Home, which is a app for home sellers. So just another napkin idea entrepreneur, let's say. He has a 9-to-5, but he just had this burning passion. And, you know, he sold his house about, I think it was like 3 years ago. And he had no idea what the process was like. And it's not that he got burned, but, you know, he definitely wished he knew more about it. So, you know, it's a simple app, but all it is just free content. So it walks you through. We have what the structure is. There's 7 lessons, and then there's a few chapters in each lesson. And, you know, it's all about, like, should you work with a real estate agent? Should you do for sale by owner? Here's what the mortgage process is like. Here's what here's how to stage your home better. So how to make it look better if you're about to sell it. It's pretty much every single thing that someone that, you know, even if they are an expert or a beginner, a first-time home seller, they'll definitely learn something from that. So we have some other really cool stuff that we're working on, but it's not live just yet.
Patrick O'Brien, a CEO and founder of Lakeview Labs in Chicago. You can find it at lakeviewlabs.io, on Twitter at Lakeview Labs. We're going to continue our discussion after the bell this morning, and we'll post more of our discussion, our conversation with Patrick online later this morning when the podcast goes up. Make sure you check it out at WGNradio.com, the Allstate CEO Spotlight.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. It's not the car of the future anymore. Driverless cars have just hit the road.
I can't wait to see it in the market.
They're here. Driverless taxis are picking up passengers today in Singapore.
I was a little bit nervous at the beginning, but I got comfortable with the ride. It seemed like someone was driving the car.
Beating Uber, Google, and others off the starting line, Nutonomy, an autonomous vehicle software startup, invited a few passengers to hail the first rides with their smartphones.
I think people who don't know how to drive will definitely benefit from this technology.
Some say it'll take the stress out of commuting.
I can imagine this technology would help me a lot during traffic jams.
The vehicles are fitted with an array of sensors, including multiple laser-based radar systems that monitor traffic conditions and several advanced dash cameras. The cars are driving through a small section of the city's business district in the first public trial of driverless taxis. They hope to field a full fleet by 2018. With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 538. It appears that guaranteed tuition laws like the one enacted in Illinois and other states, at least 12 other states, are driving significant increases in tuition and fees at public colleges and university. The idea to make college cheaper is actually making higher education less affordable for resident and non-residents alike. This is according to a new study out by education professor Jennifer Delaney and Tyler Kearney of the University of Illinois. And Professor Jennifer Delaney at the Illinois College of Education joins us this morning from Urbana-Champaign via Skype. Professor Delaney, what did your research find?
So that's exactly right. That's what we found in our research. We studied guaranteed tuition laws, which are laws that require institutions to offer a flat rate of tuition. So when a student enrolls as a freshman, they pay the same rate through their senior year, through graduation. And these guaranteed tuition laws only address tuition predictability. They don't necessarily address college affordability. And our research has shown evidence of increases in post-secondary tuition and also required fees, tuition for out-of-state students, and other sort of other effects from these programs.
Illinois is one of the states that has adopted one of these sorts of guaranteed tuition laws. If you could tell us about, what it is exactly that makes this a trigger, this increased trigger, and what can be done to change it.
So that's a good question. The way that institutions, post-secondary institutions, are responding very rationally to this law. Having a law that says you cannot change your prices over the next 4 years while students are enrolled means that institutions are bearing any sort of inflationary risk or any unexpected changes in costs. So a rational, you know, tuition setting governing board would say, well, we need to set prices not for what we need today, but what we're going to need 4 years from now. So these programs are structured to in such a way that institutions are very rationally responding to raising their prices to make sure they've got enough operating revenues throughout the course of the guarantee.
This is coming at a time when we're hearing a lot about budget problems here in Illinois. They barely have enough money to pay for funding education as it is. This is adding to that stress, I'm guessing?
So there's no funding tied in Illinois on the truth in tuition law. It's simply a law that says the manner in which tuition prices must be set. But from the perspective of students and families, you're absolutely right that if guaranteed tuition plans are raising tuition and required fees and the things that students need to pay for when they are coming back to campuses this fall, it is making things harder and less affordable on students and families in Illinois.
In the schools and universities and colleges that you studied over the course of this 12-year period, what did you find in terms of the size of the increase and who was bearing the cost of that?
So our research just looked, we aggregated across institutions. We weren't able to pull out individual details on specific campuses. However, we did find general trends in which research institutions, so doctoral degree granting institutions in Illinois, here would be the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, UIUC, and our other public institutions that offer graduate degrees, that the increases there were higher. Now, their base tuition rates were higher than other campuses as well, but we were finding larger increases at the doctoral institutions as opposed to our comprehensive master's institutions in the state.
What dollar figures can you share with us about this? What were the average increases?
So we looked at two different things. As I described before, the way that tuition guaranteed tuition policies work is that you have to lock in the tuition rates. So we looked at just a year-to-year change, which might not indicate changes in affordability, because institutions could rationally front-load increased prices in, say, freshman and sophomore years, but not actually increase prices over the course of the 4 years, so in total for what students would pay. So we found between a 26 and 30% increase in the year-to-year change in tuition. We also looked at this over an aggregate of 4 years, so what a student would pay during the course of their degree. And there we found a 6 to 7% increase in excess of what we were seeing in similar institutions in other state setting and as compared to the trend that was present in Illinois before the law came into place.
Give us a sense of how many states have these sorts of laws and or are considering them, and what would your advice be to them?
So Illinois was the first state to have a guaranteed tuition law set at the state level. That came in 2004. Currently, both Oklahoma and Texas also have guaranteed tuition laws. One major difference between what we have in Illinois here and Oklahoma and Texas's programs is the programs in the southern states are optional, whereas the law in Illinois requires all in-state students to operate under this pricing model. I heard of interest in guaranteed tuition in Utah this year from the governor's office, and I also know they're exploring it in Virginia. So we may see more growth in these programs. If we look at the institutional level, schools can put in a guaranteed tuition plan on their own. And by far, the vast majority of institutions that choose to do that are in the for-profit sector. There seems to be some really good marketing that happens around the idea of a flat rate tuition.
The idea that this proposal, these laws are designed to help college students, and in your research now we learn that they're actually hurting and actually making college unaffordable for some. That seems to be like a major, you know, you gave it a failing grade, but a reason why there shouldn't be in existence in the first place.
So I think it's certainly an argument to revisit guaranteed tuition policies. There is great value in predictability for students and families. Knowing what they have to pay, not seeing sudden price increases, is important. But as guaranteed tuition laws are structured now in the three states that have them, they're not doing anything to deal with the level of tuition and what prices are. So addressing both that affordability component with giving students and families predictability is important. And right now the laws aren't accomplishing both of those goals.
So when you hear the campaign for president, the candidates talking about giving college free or at least making it even cheaper, what advice would you give? I mean, this is kind of a tricky road, sort of a minefield to walk through, isn't it?
College pricing is not simple in any way. So that certainly is challenging. It's very good that at the national level, we're hearing political candidates actually talking about college prices and college affordability and student loans in particular. So the fact that this has become an issue, not just that we're dealing with in Illinois as a state or that Texas or Oklahoma is considering, but that we're trying to grapple with it as a nation, is important. You're right that it is complicated and there are pitfalls, but good policy is important, and college affordability matters for access to post-secondary training for the next generation of Americans, and is really important.
And so that was going to be my next question, the positives to this. Are there positives? Are there success stories where these laws are in place?
So the positive side of these laws is really focused about predictability. We know that students that face unexpected price increases, or even a price increase if they change their major or have to take a course with a large lab fee, that can lead to really some negative academic behaviors and ultimately drop out. So having predictability on the finances and making sure that individuals can afford to be in college and know what those financial burdens are going to be so they can best manage them is really important. So that predictability element of guaranteed tuition is a vital piece of this. In terms of thinking about affordability.
Jennifer Delaney is an associate professor of higher education at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign with us via Skype this morning. Her study can be found at EdIllinois on Twitter. By the way, a couple of the other highlights of this study, the impact of these flat rate tuition laws in Illinois and other states triggered a 50% increase in required fees for doctoral and research universities. Also, between 2000 and 2012, public colleges and universities in states where these guaranteed tuition laws like Illinois were in place increased mandatory student fees by about 40% for tuition rates for out-of-state students, 28% for in-state tuition students as well. And during that time, the study found that enrollments of out-of-state students at these institutions dropped by about 23%. Again, you can find more of this study at EdIllinois on Twitter.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:53 on the WGN market desk. The Dow Jones futures off about 5 points now. The S&P and NASDAQ futures also lower as we head toward the opening bell later this morning. Oil prices also now trading lower, off about almost 1.5%. Let's find out what's happening elsewhere in the commodities market. Here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The beginning of a very busy week as we say goodbye to August, hello to September. Tomorrow, opening day of the 63rd Annual Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. We'll talk about that in a moment. But one of the reports the market will be looking at in the grain trade this morning is that Pro Farmers Summer Crop Tour numbers from last Friday. After the tour, they estimated the U.S. corn crop at 14,728 million bushels, down from USDA's August estimate of 15.1. The soybean crop estimated at 4,093 million bushels, and that's up about 33 million bushels from the USDA report. Wheat at a 10-year low last Friday at the close. Corn and soybeans all traded lower because of good crop weather. And in the livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, make it 10 days in a row for a down day in the cattle market. The live cattle contract ending down $2.45 a hundredweight. The feeder cattle contract down $1.70 a hundredweight. Hogs with a pretty good rally on Friday, ending the day and the week up $2.62. Now, the Farm Progress Show will be there at the ADM tent every day, Tuesday through Thursday, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. When I say we, our band, Max Armstrong, and me, we'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. By the way, speaking of the Farm Progress Show, there's word today that the show has actually been sold out. There's all this talk about trouble with the farm economy, but the organizers of the Farm Progress Show say it is sold out for this week, again, starting tomorrow. In Boone, Iowa. A couple of other final notes for you as you get ready to head off to work this morning. A new study says those people like you sitting in traffic for hours on end are breathing dangerously high levels of pollution. And the latest research from the University of Surrey shows that just a simple adjustment to your car's ventilation system while sitting in that traffic can help you avoid toxic fumes by up to 76%. The World Health Organization placing outdoor air pollution as one of the top health risks facing humans. In traffic jams, red lights, other vehicles stationary in front, research has shown that if you close car windows and switch off the fan, you are less likely to breathe in those bad air germs, those bad air, those toxins that we all seem to breathe in. Mylan this morning has announced it will make available a generic version of its EpiPen as criticism continues to mount over the price of the injectable medicine. That's another story developing that we'll continue to follow through the morning.